This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to the Nutrition Awareness Podcast, co-hosted by yours truly, Kate Richardson
and Megan Pacheci. We're two registered dietitians here to make your life easier by debunking diet myths, sharing scientific information about nutrition, and keeping you motivated to reach your goals.
We want to teach you everything we know by giving you real life examples of how we've helped our combined thousands of clients transform their lives, lose weight, and get healthy without having to go on another cookie cutter diet.
On this podcast, we'll be giving you our best advice, strategies, and mindset shifts so you too can reach your goals using food and, most importantly, enjoy the process.
I had my first non-alcoholic beer of pregnancy.
Ooh, what was it?
It was at a brewery. I cannot remember what it was. It was like some German Hefeweizen.
Okay.
And it was good for the experience. I got to sit outside at a brewery and sip one beer that didn't have any effect on me at all, but it was kind of fun just to, like, partake in that again.
Do you think you got the same experience that you would have got had that beer had alcohol in it?
No.
Okay, what was missing for you?
The buzz. Okay. I'm just being real.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we can't deny when you have a couple drinks, you get that nice buzz. That's a nice place to be, at least for me personally. I enjoy it. But it helped me. We got to go out and do something on a beautiful day. And because I'm in the last month of my pregnancy, it's just hard to be active right now. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to be outside and, like, do something fun.
Yeah.
And then my fiance didn't have to, like, you know, not go do something because I couldn't drink. So I got to have, like, a non-alcoholic beer. And even if they didn't have it, I would have been fine with a water. But still felt like I still got that social inclusion.
Yeah.
Which, for me, I value. And there's been times in my life where I never needed the buzz. I didn't really care about that. And I would just do the same thing, like drink water or non-alcoholic beverage.
Did you feel at all that people were looking at you, like, look at this pregnant lady drinking a beer?
Yes, except there was, like, nobody there when we went. Okay. And the brew tenders, they called it, they were, like, two girls. And they really clearly knew that I was pregnant and saw what I ordered.
Got it. So I
didn't feel insecure about that. But, yeah, if we were in, like, a more crowded place, I definitely would have thought differently.
So have you found that places that you go over the past 8 months, do most of them have an alternative that you're excited about? So not just they have an alternative, but, like, you're like, oh, I actually want to try that. And you feel like you're joining the crowd and enjoying the social aspect of it.
I would say yes. 80% of the time, there's some fun mocktail that I actually like, and most places have, like, three on the menu. Mm-hmm. Or there's been a few times that I've just asked the bartender to bring me something. Like, our families went to this, like, piano bar type of thing, and they brought me out a non-alcoholic mule, which was fun. It wasn't on the menu, so they just kind of knew what to do. There was one situation where we went to a Mexican restaurant, and this is, like, your neighborhood Mexican restaurant. Yeah. It's not, like, an authentic night. I mean, it's authentic, but it's not, like, one of those 5-star Mexican restaurants. And I asked the guy if he had any non-alcoholic drinks because, I'm like, everyone around me is drinking out of these fish bowls. It looks really fun. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Miami Vice. And I was like, a non-alcoholic Miami Vice? He's like, yeah. Goes back and brings me a fishbowl-sized smoothie. I mean, it's basically a smoothie that's, like, pink and white.
Yeah.
And it was really sweet. And it was, like, before my meal, and it's frozen. I'm literally drinking a sugary frozen smoothie, which was kind of hysterical. Yeah. I drank about half of it. But I was like, okay, like, this would be the place where I just stick to water. Because I did feel insecure then if people were looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
Super pregnant.
So actually, at a Mexican restaurant with my pregnant friend, we went and her and I ordered the same drink, but she got hers without alcohol in it. Like, she asked, like, hey, can you do this just without the alcohol? And the alcohol that was supposed to be in it was mezcal.
Yeah.
So they bring the drinks and she sips it and she was like, this is really smoky. She's like, I'm pretty sure this has mezcal in it. And the waitress came back and she was like, hey, can you just double check that there's no alcohol in this? And she's like, I don't really know. Like, I don't really. She's like, it is really smoky. What would be smoky in here that's not mezcal? And she's like, yeah, I don't. She's like, I'm just going to have them remake it for you. So they remade it. It did not taste like that at all. So it actually was the legit drink.
Thank God. She said,
and I'm like, well, good thing it was mezcal, not something like vodka that's not, doesn't have as much flavor in it. Whereas, like, mezcal, you know.
Yeah.
That it's in there.
You gotta watch
out. Also at a Mexican restaurant. So if you're pregnant, watch out for the Mexican. Maybe just stick with water.
I know. That makes me think back to, like, the Miami Vice thing I had. I'm like, did it just come on a machine? It's, and they add the alcohol? Because they might, like, add in the alcohol later. Yeah,
probably. It's probably just a mix that they add the alcohol in and just stir it up. And that's it.
If my doctor's listening, in my future baby, I'm sorry if it did. But we're not here to talk about our own mocktail experiences. We're here to update you guys on Canada's recommendations for alcohol consumption.
So this was a bit of a controversy, at least like in my world. I saw this come out in 2023. Canada updated their guidance on alcohol and health. So prior to this, it was very similar to the US guidelines, which is basically just across the board, like two drinks a day or less. They actually came out with guidelines that recommend zero drinks per day, which is more along the lines of what I recommend. And when I say I recommend it, I'm not actually expecting you to do this, but I am giving you all of the information. So in the same way that I'm not saying, like, I'm not also recommending that you have two slices of cheesecake per week. I'm saying, like, if you want to have some cheesecake every once in a while, fine, but I'm not going to give you a recommendation of two or less slices of cheesecake per week.
I think that's a really good way to describe it. Or, like, in an old podcast that we had done a long time ago, I stole this from you, you talk about alcohol or drinks as cookies, where it's like, yeah, you wouldn't have four cookies in one night. Why would you have four drinks? So it's kind of the same thing. It's like, yeah, you don't recommend someone has two pieces of dessert every week because, like, what's that?
Right. I'm not going to recommend it. But if you have four cookies one night, like, okay, then you had four cookies one night. But that's not going to have anything to do with my recommendations for you as your dietitian who's trying to help you improve your health. So when people are like, well, how many drinks should I keep it as? Like, okay, we can talk about that. Like, what would get you closer to the person that you want to be? If you're currently having six, like, maybe we have a goal of four. But from a health standard, there's been all of this, you know, all this, oh, well, red wine is good for you and having a beer every day is good for you. Like, okay, no. Actually, the science says no. So I'm going to read some key points from their new, the Canada's Guidance on Alcohol and Health. It says there is a continuum risk associated with weekly alcohol use, where the risk of harm is at zero drinks per week, not drinking has benefits such as better health and better sleep. Two standard drinks or less per week, not per day, per week, you are likely to avoid alcohol-related consequences for yourself or others at this level. 3 to 6 standard drinks per week, your risk of developing several types of cancer, including breast and colon cancer, increases at this level. So they are saying that at 3 to 6 standard drinks per week, again, not per day, your risk for those things go up. So so colon cancer, breast cancer, and a standard drink is a beer, 12 ounces of beer, which is 5% alcohol, a cooler cider or ready-to-drink drink at 5% alcohol, 12 ounces, so like your seltzers and things like that, that's a standard drink, 5 ounces of wine or 1.5 ounces of spirits. So that 3 to 6 times per week increases your risk of different types of cancers.
Anyone, if you throw in anything about colon cancer, I get so scared.
Really?
Yeah, just because I'm going through like an obsession with colon cancer right now because of how many people are in their 30s and 40s are dying from colon cancer. Mm-hmm. And so anything that can increase your risk of colon cancer, my ears perk up. And that's 3 to 6 drinks
per week.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people do you know? Or how many, like I...
Normal!
It's like, normal! Yes, normal. Yeah.
That's a very normal amount.
Yeah, for us, like...
Which I think is great that they're putting these out here because it's eye-opening mm-hmm. to people, whereas we've kind of, like, pushed these studies out of the way in order to read the ones that are like, hey, like, red wine has resveratrol in it. This is going to make me feel better about my bottle of wine a week habit. Like, no. And then they said 7 standard drinks or more per week, your risk for heart disease and stroke increases significantly. at this level. And then by each additional standard drink, it radically increases the risk of alcohol-related consequences.
Does it get into the specifics of alcohol-related consequences, or does it just mean all of the things previously listed?
So it says consuming more than two standard drinks per occasion is associated with an increased risk of harms to self and others, including injuries and violence. When pregnant or trying to get pregnant, there is no known safe amount of alcohol use. When breastfeeding, not drinking alcohol is safest.
Can we talk about that for a minute?
Sure.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. But that, I mean, being pregnant, and you and I have talked about this, like, off the mic, about how there are some studies suggesting that maybe people, not even studies, there's, like, economists. Economists. This is pregnancy brain. I will not apologize for it. Saying that one drink per day in your third trimester may not negatively impact the fetus, because there's no studies to prove that it will.
There is, yeah.
But that's because nobody's going to study that, because it's unethical.
Correct.
And it's just kind of crazy to me that people will take that information and twist it and be like, oh, well, there's nobody saying that it will hurt my baby because no one studied it.
Yeah. It's a depressant. It's a low-level poison for your system. Is it going to be good for your baby? No.
No, you wouldn't give it to your three-year-old.
It just isn't. It's just not. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so anyway.
When breastfeeding, not drinking alcohol is safest. No matter where you are in the continuum for your health, less alcohol is better. Which I just think, I just love that they are putting these things out. They're not letting, like, the Budweiser lobbyists prevent them as a government from putting these guidelines out here. This is what we've seen the studies have shown. More alcohol is not better. Two drinks a day is not better. Zero drinks is what is best for your health. Now take that information and do what you will with it. In the same accord, like, having four pizzas per week, not great for your health. Take that information, do what you will with it. Are you still going to have pizza on Friday night? Probably. That's fine. But I want you to really know, like, what the consequence may be of that. If you're drinking 3 to 7 drinks per week, your increase for quite a few different cancers and heart disease goes up.
Right.
Okay. Are you okay with that? If you're okay with that, that's fine. But you just need to know.
So I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm thinking about people I've talked to, client experiences, and studies I've read too, where the argument for having one or two drinks per night, or whatever it is per drinking episode, mm-hmm. is beneficial and can cause or increase your longevity because you're being social mm-hmm. and you're getting out of the house, and that's great for living a long, healthy life.
So decreasing stress as a way to improve health.
I don't know if it would be in the context of stress. It's more of like that socialization mm-hmm. and how if going out to dinner with a group of people on Saturday involves two drinks, how that might have a more beneficial impact on your health because you're getting out and being social, and that's mm-hmm. shown to improve longevity. Mm-hmm. In which case it's like, yes.
It's not the alcohol.
It's not the alcohol though.
It's doing that.
Exactly.
It's you being around people. So find something to do around people where you don't have to drink
right.
if that's what you want.
It's a choice.
But if you have a great time going out to a brewery and having two drinks, then that's fine.
Right.
Like, I'm okay with that. I just want you to know what the studies actually say.
And yeah.
I'm just tired of all these things that, like, when clients come in, they're like, well, I read this study that said if you drink beer every night, it's good for your heart. No.
Yeah. No, and that was the point I was getting to, is it's almost like you can find something and the lens you look at it can support the narrative that you want.
Yeah.
So if I want to enjoy two drinks 6 nights a week or whatever it is, and I find something that supports that for my health, like, oh, it makes me social. It makes me go out and do mm-hmm. things, mm-hmm. then I ignore the science that alcohol does not help your health. There
right.
is nothing that is going to improve your physical well-being, your body's health. Maybe mentally, if it gets you out of the house and de-stresses, so you kind of have to pick, is the risk worth the reward? And for some people, it is.
Yeah, so there was something that I saw where they were comparing it to cigarettes, of like what a drink, one drink would equivalent to your risk as far as, okay, here it is. So the study that found that a standard drink is equivalent and comparable to one cigarette for men and two cigarettes for women. The summary explains that one bottle of wine per week is associated with an increase in lifetime cancer risk, the same as 5 cigarettes a week for men or 10 for women.
Oof. You know what also comes to my mind is me playing devil's advocate again. How many times have you heard, whether it's from clients or just reading something, about like somebody's 95-year-old grandma who smoked and drank every day and lived to be old and with it? Those are the exceptions, not the rules. So if anyone's thinking about that right now, it's like, yeah, you maybe got like lucky in one arena, but if you're really concerned about these health risks, then don't do it.
And I mean, I'm just thinking about my own life. So my one grandmother that smoked, she died in her early 60s. My mom smoked. She died before she turned 58. My aunt passed away also, I think it was right before she was turning. I think she was 58, 59 as well. So those are the three women in my life that I know that smoked. So, I mean, my odds terms of like, we all know that one woman who's 85 years old. Well, not in my case.
No, I couldn't. I'm trying to imagine you smoking a cigarette. Just doesn't. My brain cannot like pixelate that.
No, not my jam. Definitely not my jam.
So what about the people who really aren't, who are maybe in their 20s and 30s and aren't really motivated by those chronic health risks? Because I can tell you that when I was 25 and I was experimenting with lifestyles with drinking and not drinking, I never felt motivated by my risk for cancer, because you're so far removed by that unless you have an immediate family member or you go through something. What are some of the other benefits of decreasing alcohol?
Yeah, and first, I want to say, like, I'm not out here to tell you to change what you're doing. I'm just out here to provide some information to you. But unless you want to. If you come to me and you're, like, and you're 25 years old and you're telling me, you know, I try so hard all week and then I mess it up all weekend because you drank Friday night, you ate like crap all day Saturday, and then you went and drank again Saturday night, like, then I'm going to sit here and help you and I'm going to go through goals to help you with that, because of course you're gonna be low on energy when you've been poisoning your body all weekend.
And like, not even just we're gonna provide information but also get you to ask yourself questions and reflect. I think that's really important too, because you don't have to know you want to change. Like, maybe you do, maybe you don't, maybe you have never thought about it before, but just some things to think about and consider, and doing like a whole body audit and see like, oh, is there something that's off, and could your alcohol consumption be related? Because maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
And some of the things I've seen too, even not even from that like 25 year old crowd, but like from the people that are in the 30s and 40s with young kids, or maybe even kids that are in school, feeling like they're so stressed all week trying to like get everything done, but then when we like kind of evaluate their weekends, well, they, you know, the drinking on the weekends or the eating like crap on the weekends, they're not doing themselves any favors to let their weeks be a little less stressful. So if we can try to include some things that are going to make them feel better, give them more energy on that weekend so they can go into Monday not feeling so behind, that can really help with bringing those stress levels down throughout the week. And I'm not trying to like take the fun out of anything. Like, let's infuse the fun throughout the week too, so that you're not feeling like, oh my gosh, I have to get all the fun in on Friday night and Saturday and then go back to the grind on Monday. Just an overall better balance, including alcohol and food, versus like, I'm this person Monday through Friday and then I'm a different person Saturday and Sunday.
You know who else I see that with? Not just like busy parents, but people who have to do like a lot of client entertaining for their work, where they're like drinking a lot to entertain clients or business meetings, and then they're kind of living this very extreme lifestyle where it's like grind, 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 work, sales, push hard, and then party. I just being in this business, I'm often surprised when clients tell me about the lifestyles that they live in these specific, especially sales industries, where it's just expected that you will drink a lot. So that's really hard, where it's like, okay, how do you unwind after just being on all day without alcohol? And then, you know, if alcohol is your number one tool to unwind, well, then how is that impacting your sleep or your cognition the next day, or your ability to make decisions, or your energy, or your motivation to get up and take a walk, or anything like that? So it's a cycle. You mentioned people in their 30s and 40s. That's where I notice most people start to experience not so hot consequences that happen immediately, either while drinking or after drinking.
The full day hangover the next day.
Full day hangover, or even getting a hangover while they're drinking. I have a really cool client. Her story is awesome. We had met maybe 8 months ago, and she just wrapped up on a high. And she was drinking wine most nights, just kind of it was her routine, was nowhere near wanting to decrease alcohol. And over time, she just came to this conclusion that don't even like it half the time. While I'm drinking, I don't feel very good. And she came to this place where she wanted alcohol consumption to be a choice. Like, she wanted to consciously choose and think through whether she wanted a drink or not, and if the consequences that she was experiencing were worth it. Because sometimes they were. Sometimes it was worth it for her to have two glasses of wine, and other times it wasn't. And so we got to her to a place where she could say yes or no, and it was totally up to her, not peer pressure or habit or routine.
That happens a lot where, you know, similar to like that sales, like where people are like, you know what, alcohol, it's just part of my life. I'm not willing to cut it out. It's not something I'm even really willing to look at. But when they start with us and they are just feeling eh all the time, and then they do make those changes and they start to see the differences, and they start to think differently and feel differently about what they're putting in their body. And oftentimes, like, they will be the ones to bring it up again to me. Sometimes I'll nudge them and be like, hey, you ready to talk about the wine yet? And they're like, no, I'm not ready. Or a lot of times they are the ones that kind of come to me and say like, hey, you know what, I'm starting to rethink this a little bit.
Well, because we ask questions about how food makes them feel in a nutshell. Of course, it gets more in depth than that. But okay, if we're thinking about how, you know, soda or sugar or your high sugary breakfast makes you feel, then you just kind of get into this routine of thinking about how what you ingest impacts your body. And of course, alcohol is a part of that. Let's go through and name some of the immediate effects of alcohol that you may or may not notice. I would say within like maybe 24 hours of drinking. What are some of the not so hot things you or clients experience? I know for me, one of them is maybe a little bit of anxiety the next day, like an increased heart rate, or even if I didn't say or do anything like I would have when I drank in college, you know, some embarrassing. It's just this kind of like looming feeling of like, ugh.
Isn't there a physiological reason for that? I don't know what it is. I've never researched it, but I feel like I've like read or heard somewhere like there's an actual, like, there's something that's going on in your body, like that, increased why that heart happens. Yeah, sure, maybe that happens. Yeah, maybe like when you get up and you feel your heart rate increases, that you associate that with anxiety. So even though there was nothing that necessarily happened the night before, that same feeling causes maybe the anxiety. So like maybe the anxiety comes from the physical part versus like coming from like something that actually happened, and then you get the heart rate because of the anxiety. Your body like puts those two things together.
Yeah, the Sunday scaries, that's a thing too. It's like, okay, you maybe drink on Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday you're feeling some of those physiological symptoms that remind you of anxiety, and then you think about the next day being Monday, and it can, it's hard to be excited about a fresh new week when you're recovering from a hangover.
I'm a bottomless pit if I drink too much. Like the next day. Yeah. The next day, I'm so hungry. Like, I can't stop eating. I want everything. Something just, like, coat my stomach. And then nothing really ever makes me feel better. So I just want to keep eating
which
all day.
Which doesn't help your energy. I don't think you're eating, like, carrots and hummus.
Oh, no. No, definitely not.
I just can't stop with the berries today.
No, that is not what happens to me, at least.
That's me, too. It might take me a while to... You know what was weird? Like, when I would have a few drinks and wake up with a little bit of a hangover, it wouldn't feel very bad until, like, noon. And then I would just, like, drop. Mm. And I'd be hungry and tired and just a total waste.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't even matter if I had one drink. Well, one drink I'd usually be fine. But, like, any more than three, that would not do well for me. There's also a lot of studies that show just one drink can negatively impact your sleep, your sleep cycles, your ability to rest. I get really hot when I sleep, period. But especially after a couple drinks, I wake up sweaty. And that doesn't help because you're supposed to sleep at a lower body temperature. It's better for restful sleep. So there's a not so hot effect, which is why I had a really cool client, and, you know, he's owns a company, leads a family. Like, he's just a busy guy. He needed to be sharp, and he'd have a few drinks on the weekdays. It wasn't helping his other goals. We cut those out, and he had better cognition during the week.
Cool.
And it's like, yeah, you're sleeping better. You have better mental clarity, especially as we get older. One or two drinks can really cause some brain fog.
Yeah, I can totally see that. So the U.S. has not made any changes yet based on these studies as Canada did, but there will be new dietary guidelines for Americans coming out in 2025. They typically do it every 5 years. So I think these ones were like the 2020 to 2025. So we'll see if they decide to follow suit or if they've got companies paying them a lot of money to not do that.
I know. Gosh, isn't that nauseating?
Uh-huh. Because the difference between 2 drinks or less per day and 0 drinks at all is a really big difference in recommendations just from, like, a boundary line between Canada and the U.S. Like, how is it so different?
I mean, there's a lot of differences.
But as far as, like, a health, like, okay, we're reading all the same studies, and here's what we had to say about it. This is what you had to say about it. I think the difference is money.
Oh, yeah. And for people who don't know, you wanted to be a politician, right?
Yes, I did.
So
in my previous life.
I want you to get up there, and I want you to lobby for something.
There's no money in that. That's true. Nobody's doing that because nobody's making money off of saying you can't. Have like not you can't have it but out of saying like 0 drinks per week is a good recommendation. Like, no one's making any money off of that.
You know what is a little dose of optimism though? You know what? Like, that's a reality. It's true. But it seems like Gen Z's are drinking less alcohol.
100%. I get these freshmen in college that come in and I'm like, how much are you drinking? And they're like, oh, I don't know, maybe like once every 2 weeks. And yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What? Like, that's, I mean, all the time.
I just had a 20-year-old client who just for celebrated her birthday, treated herself to a Dr. Pepper. I was like, you're awesome.
Great.
She's doing great.
Yeah, no, that's great that kids aren't blocking out 4 times a week.
Why is that normal?
I mean, our generation normalized that. I don't know if the generations before that was normal, but, like, certainly when I was in college, that was completely normal.
It's really
crazy.
It's
what you're doing to your body and your brain and the dangers of that. It just is insane that we did that.
Just think about, like, how you felt when you were, like, 19 in college. Like, it was Friday. You finished your last class at, like, 11 a.m. You're, like, gearing up to just...
The sun is shining.
Yes! It was, like, you go somewhere and you get really drunk before you go somewhere.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything else. Yeah. Now, like, imagining going to a party with more than one drink in my system, like, what? Then what's the point of going?
You won't even know who's there. Didn't have a good time. Or maybe you did. You don't even really know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have 100% noticed that with college kids. They rarely... And I'm not going to judge you. Mm-hmm. Like, just let me know, like, what's actually going on here. But yeah, they... are not drinking as much as they used to, which is great.
I think they're smoking more weed,
That's true. Weed is definitely bigger than it was when I was in college, at least.
Which, for some people, you know, ties back into food. You know, I had one client who felt really stressed and anxious at her home life in school, and she was in high school, and she never drank alcohol. And she got her hands on edibles and would eat in her bed all night after she took an edible, and that was kind of like her thing. So that was different, but... I don't know. I mean, maybe this is just my perspective. I would much rather someone smoke weed than drink alcohol, you know, if they have the medical card or whatever it might be, if they feel like it's appropriate for them, because there's so much less risk to other people when you're smoking weed. Like, there's, like you mentioned, the, you know, Canada's guidelines of those negative impacts of alcohol being violence or harm to others.
Mm-hmm.
I just find as long as the source is medical grade, then
this is totally off topic, but if you smoke weed and you have digestive issues, maybe try not smoking weed and see what happens. So this is like happened in my life quite a few times. I'm not me, but I'm not gonna like get into specifics of it, but people like will refuse to believe that that is part of the issue because it's not something that you like hear about or think about, and like it's definitely not the weed. Like, try cutting that out and just see what happens to your digestion would be my suggestion.
Interesting, because I would almost... I want you to tell a story, where that came from.
I'll tell it in a few weeks, maybe.
Okay. Because I believe you. I'd almost think the opposite, because a lot of times when I have clients who have, like, severe stomach issues, they're super anxious and stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, talk to your doctor. But certain things can have a, if you're less stressed, if something can help you feel more calm, that might help with digestion. But
just throwing it out there, if it's part of your repertoire and you're having digestive issues, just go crazy and not do it for 2 weeks and see what happens.
See what happens. A little experiment.
Yeah. A little experiment. So I guess, like, to wrap this up, like, what is this going to do with what I do with clients? Nothing different. I mean, I'm going to, you know, I meet people where they are. Just like the cheesecake thing. Not going to tell you never eat cheesecake. Not going to tell you never eat pizza. I'm also not going to tell you you should have two or less pizzas per week.
I hate those recommendations.
So stupid. I'm going to ask you, like, to reflect back on yourself. What do you want? You know, like, what are your goals with alcohol? Do you feel like it's something that you want to address? Something that you don't want to address? Maybe look at your family history and see what that's like, to kind of make your own decisions about what you want your alcohol intake to look like. For me personally, I've not sworn off alcohol. I've gone through periods of my life where I didn't drink. I didn't drink for a couple months before my wedding. Obviously didn't drink during pregnancy. There's been times where I've gone a year and I'm like, I have not been drunk for an entire year. Like, but that being said, if I'm on a boat, am I going to have a couple White Claws? Yeah, you better believe it, because I feel like for me, it adds to the experience and I like to have a little fun every once in a while.
Yeah. And I could say the same for myself. I mean, obviously right now I'm not drinking either, but you know, I've gone through periods where I was super into the challenge of like, ooh, like I'm going to have no alcohol for as long as I can. Mm-hmm. And then there would be experiences where it was really worth it and I would break the streak. And I realized, and this is not an uncommon pattern for me in anything, that if I try to be all or nothing with something, it just, I can do it for a long time. Mm-hmm. I can abstain from alcohol for as long as you tell me to. Like a year, I'll do it. Like if that's the challenge and I'm up for it, I'll do it. But then as soon as I start drinking alcohol again, it's almost like a rubber band that snaps and I'm going to drink more than I would like until I kind of even out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like that with food and everything for a lot of us, especially, I mean, that's what I wrote my whole book about, which is like all or nothing mindset, how it makes you just go from one extreme to the next.
Yeah.
So what I find works for me is thinking about, well, what am I doing today? Is alcohol worth it? Like, is the feeling I'm going to get worth it? And sometimes the experience is so fun that I don't even notice the negative effects or dwell on them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did something that was really awesome. It was really fun. We were on vacation. We were just living in the moment. We were out in the water. Like, it was so worth it. Or it was just one glass of wine and a nice dinner and then a nice cocktail. Like, there was no negative effect for me.
Yeah.
But then there's other times where it's like, oh, I have to get up early tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Or like when I have this baby, this newborn baby, I'm really going to pick and choose if and when I drink. Because if I'm getting up at 3 a.m. to, you know, breastfeed, obviously, pump, you know, I have to actually clarify myself on those guidelines with pumping and dumping. But if we're just using whatever, you know, I pumped previously to feed at 3 a.m., I don't want to be angry and resentful at my little baby because I'm hungover and tired and processing alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to feel mad at him because I drank. You know, I could see that being a thing.
Yeah.
So that's where I am too. And actually, another thing I'm going to just drop in here before we wrap up is another thing I noticed when I was super strict about not drinking alcohol. Lots of benefits. And also, I had a sugar habit. I started to really crave sugar.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Yeah, I was like,
how long did that last?
About a month or two.
Okay. And then it went away. It wasn't the whole time.
Because I got aware of it. Mm. I was like super aware and I gave myself some grace. And this is coming from somebody who was only social drinking on weekends.
Yeah.
I lived in an apartment complex where there was a pool party every weekend and I would just drink twice a week, probably more than I would like to admit. It wasn't like a daily habit. And then you would just take away this weekend of dumping glucose and alcohol into your system. And it's almost like my body like craved it.
Interesting.
But then once I got aware of it, I was able to course correct. But yeah, I would like have Tootsie Pops.
Yeah, and
I was like, why am I eating all these Tootsie Pops? Like, why do I like need a Tootsie Pop? And I've had friends who have quit vaping and they say the same thing, that they get like these little sugar.
Yeah, I mean, same thing with cigarettes too. Mm-hmm. Like I remember when my mom would try to quit, she'd always have like Jolly Ranchers or the like Lifesaver gummies she was like obsessed with.
Yeah.
To stop smoking.
But so. I would also say, like, there's the cost-benefit analysis. Like, if you... A book I recommend people who are exploring sobriety, like, really want to explore sobriety, is called The Naked Mind by Annie Grace. It's really interesting. And she makes a good point. It's like, hey, if you're trying to cut alcohol out of your life for health reasons, let yourself eat sugar. Like, you can tackle that beast a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of had that mindset of, like, okay, like, I'm eating more sugar. And then you just get through it, and then you don't crave sugar as much anymore.
Yeah.
So we hope you guys found this insightful or interesting. Keep your eye peeled out for the guidelines that drop in the USA next year.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about that on the podcast.
Yeah.
What we think about them.
And this might be my last podcast for a while because I will be on maternity leave. But hopefully Megan will keep it going.
Yeah, if anything you guys want to hear about, let me know. Motivate me.
Yeah. We'll be back. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Nutrition Awareness Podcast. And if you did find it helpful and want to share it with the whole world, screenshot this episode and tag us on Instagram in your stories at nutrition.awareness so we can connect with you.
To get notified about the next episode of Nutrition Awareness, be sure to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode.
And to create your own personalized nutrition plan with us, be sure to schedule your virtual or in-person consultation on our website, www.orlandodietitian.com.
Now get out there, fuel up, and live your healthiest life. We'll see you on the next episode.